The number of people trying to cross legally but without documents dropped 27% between May and June this year. Still, almost 8,500 people walked up to a U.S. border crossing last month and asked to be let in, according to the U.S. Customs and Border Protection Agency. Most of them were claiming asylum from gang violence, domestic violence, and other life-threatening conditions, but at many spots along the southwest border, immigrants were prevented from crossing the borderline and were not allowed to claim asylum. Legal and immigrants' rights groups say that the Trump administration is violating international law. Pauline Hovey is a volunteer at Annunciation House in El Paso, Texas, which provides shelter and other support to new immigrants. She has been volunteering to help immigrants for over 20 years.
So now what we're seeing, the agents, Border Patrol, coming up onto the bridge, preventing people who are seeking asylum from legally coming into the port of entry to stepping on U.S. soil to request asylum. They have been turning them away. We are hearing things like them telling them, like, there's no room, they can't process them, there's too much, it's not legal. There is an international law allows people to seek asylum. They have to have an interview for a credible fear. When they're fleeing violence and they need a place to run to, they're coming to a country where they feel that's a democracy and that respects human rights. And the United States happens to be, in their minds, one of those countries.
At the Paso del Norte Bridge, which connects El Paso with the Mexican city of Juarez, Border Patrol officers have set up a checkpoint right in the middle of the bridge, literally on the borderline between the U.S. and Mexico. They're blocking asylum seekers from crossing. A small group of African women and children were huddled at the checkpoint, hoping to be allowed to cross and file an asylum claim.
I've been here for 1 week on the bridge, but they don't let us in.
Nicole and her young children, Regine, 2 years old, and Daniela, 4, have been on the run from poverty and violence in Cameroon, West Africa, for 11 months.
We landed in Brazil. From Brazil, we took Peru, Ecuador, Colombia, Panama to Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Honduras, Guatemala and Mexico. Some by bus. We crossed through Panama by sea, and we had to walk for 6 days in the jungle to get to Costa Rica. And from, we had to cross Nicaragua by boat to Honduras.
Since arriving in Juarez, the little group, including Justine and her children, and their traveling companion, Jeanette, a young, very pregnant Nigerian woman, has been living on the streets in Juarez and spending their days on the bridge, hoping to be allowed to cross.
The first bridge we went to, they gave us a name of a shelter house, which we called, but they said it was full. So since then, we don't have a place to stay. So even last night, we were attacked, that's why.
Attacked?
Yes. We don't have anywhere to go. And now we were here today again. They said there's no space.
Nicole said they escaped their attackers by ducking into a bar.
We had to run. We slept in front of one bar that was open.
With our little girls.
So you ran?
Yes.
So where will you go tonight?
We don't know. That's why we are begging them now to let us in.
Coincidentally, a YouTube video went viral last week that showed a Cameroon government soldier shooting and killing a woman prisoner and the baby she was holding in her arms. The next day, I tried to find Nicole again, but she wasn't on the bridge or in the neighborhood near the bridge. The border guards told me they thought a few asylum seekers had been allowed in the night before. Perhaps Nicole was allowed to cross. If so, she is undoubtedly now in detention with her children, awaiting a judgment on the credibility of her claim for asylum. Pauline Hovey explains what happens to asylum seekers who are allowed into the U.S.
They are interviewed at the port of entry. They are processed. And they're given what they call an A number. They're given a number. All their information is taken down, and they are basically chained. I'm trying to come up with the word. When you put an ankle bracelet on, and they're chained. I mean, they're chained, and they're basically put directly into a detention facility.
Hovey said immigrants could be in detention for months, even years.
Very, very difficult for asylum seekers who have no criminal record. Very difficult for them to receive bond. They're jailed, basically. It's a high-security place. They will be there, can be there indefinitely, you know, until their case comes up, which could be a long time. But right now, these days, some people will be there over a year. Some people will be there 2 years. Some people will be deported more quickly than others.
Later that day, at the Juarez end of the bridge, I talked to Juan Fernandez, who had just been deported. He had been working as a roofer in Colorado.
We were working in the condominiums by the police, but there were no police. They were like from the ICE. And they said, your papers. And I don't have papers.
Originally from Zacatecas, Mexico, Fernandez was penniless and homeless in a strange city far from home. He hadn't been able to contact his wife and children in Denver since he was arrested 3 months ago.
My children in Denver, my wife, and I'm here alone. I'm trying to look for a job here around, pero no.
For families fleeing violence and poverty, the odds of obtaining asylum are not good. Pauline Hovey.
I think it's like 95% denial or higher. More and more cases are being denied for reasons that used to be acceptable, like gang violence, domestic violence. They're changing the laws for that. There's a lot of streamlining going on. Streamlining meaning they'll bring a whole group of people in before a judge at the same time. They'll all stand there so that they can get them to admit to coming and being deporting them and getting them out the door as quickly as possible without their individual cases heard.
Many immigrants who are stymied by barriers to legal entry are willing to try to cross without authorization in their efforts to get into the U.S. to work and to connect with family. At Casa del Migrante, a shelter run by the Catholic Church in Juarez, I spoke with Johanna Vasquez from Tegucigalpa, Honduras. She has her children with her, 10-year-old Hazel and 9-year-old Jeffrey. Since she's been deported from the U.S. in the past, she's not a likely candidate for asylum, so she's looking for other ways to get into the U.S.
Soy de nacionalidad hondureña, vivo en Tegucigalpa.
I came through on the train and buses to Juarez, Mexico, from Tegucigalpa. In June, the children's father died, and I decided to leave Honduras because there is a lot of violence and poverty, and there are no jobs. And I want my children to have an excellent education. We have been in Juarez for 15 days, and 7 days ago we came to this shelter. I was deported 2 times, and next Sunday I will try to cross over walking with the children.
Another guest at Casa del Migrante was Edgar Ramirez from Guadalajara, Mexico. Ramirez told me he had lived and worked in the U.S. for over 20 years. He was living in Indianapolis, Indiana, with his mother when she was murdered. When he tried to talk to the police about the investigation into his mother's death, Ramirez said he was arrested and turned over to ICE for deportation. He is determined to return to the U.S.
Go across the bridge to immigration? Will they let you in?
Not the bridge. I gotta go to the desert. I feel good and I'm strong. So I will handle it. It's very dangerous because if you're tired, it's too hot. And it's not the right way, but I have to go back.
Trump's zero-tolerance policies have slowed but not stopped the flow of immigration. Economic and social conditions throughout Mexico and Central America and beyond continue to drive people to the border in search of a better life. This is Tom Harriman in El Paso, Texas, for Pacifica, KPFA.